Chapter 14, The Student of Scripture. By the directions I had received from my friend at St. Kitts, I soon found religious acquaintances in London. I usually attended upon Mr. Brewer's ministry when in town. From him I received much help, both in public and private, for he was pleased to favor me with his friendship. His kindness and the intimacy between us continued and increased, and of all my many friends I am most deeply indebted to him. The late Mr. H. was my second acquaintance, a man of choice spirit and abundant zeal for the Lord's service. I enjoyed his correspondence till near the time of his death. Upon Mr. Whitefield's return from America, my two good friends introduced me to him. Although I had little personal acquaintance with him until afterward, his ministry was exceedingly helpful to me. I had likewise access to some religious societies and became known to many excellent Christians in private life. Thus, when at London, I lived at the fountainhead for spiritual advantages. When I was in Kent, it was very different. Though I found some serious persons there, the fine variegated woodland country afforded me advantages of another kind. At least some hours every day I passed in retirement, when the weather was fair, sometimes in the thickest woods, sometimes on the highest hills where almost every step varied the prospect. It has been my custom for many years to perform my devotional exercises sub die, when I have opportunity. These rural scenes have some tendency both to refresh and to compose my spirits. A beautiful, diversified prospect gladdens my heart. When I am withdrawn from the noise and petty works of men, I consider myself as in the great temple which the Lord has built for his own honor. The Lord's comfortable presence. The country between Rochdale and Maidstone, bordering upon the Medway, was well suited to the turn of my mind. Were I to go over it now, I could point to many a place where I have either earnestly sought or happily found the Lord's comfortable presence with my soul. I lived sometimes at London and sometimes in the country, till the autumn of the following year. All this while I had two trials more or less upon my mind. The first and principal was Mrs. Newton's illness. She grew worse, and I had daily more reason to fear that the hour of separation was at hand. When faith was exercised, I was in some measure resigned to the Lord's will, but too often my heart rebelled, and I found it hard either to trust or to submit. I had likewise some concern about my future. The African trade was overdone that year, and my friends did not care to fit out another ship till mine returned. I was in some suspense, but a provision of food and raiment has seldom been a cause of great solicitude to me. I found it easier to trust the Lord in this case than in the former, but this was first answered. Tide surveyor at Liverpool. In August, I received word that I was nominated to the office of tide surveyor. These places are usually obtained or at least sought by reason of much interest and application, but this came to me unsought and unexpected. I knew my good friends in Liverpool had endeavored to procure another post for me, but found it taken. I found afterwards that the place I had missed would have been very unsuitable for me. This, which I had no thought of, was the very thing I could have wished for. It afforded me much leisure and the liberty of living in my own way. The good hand of the Lord was in this event. But when I gained this point, my distress in the other was doubled. I was obliged to leave Mrs. Newton in the greatest extremity of pain and illness. The physicians could do no more, and I had no ground of hope that I should see her alive again. But this, nothing is impossible with the Lord. I had a severe conflict, but faith prevailed. I found the promise remarkably fulfilled, of strength proportioned to my need. The day before I set out, and not till then, the burden was entirely taken from my mind. I was strengthened to resign both her and myself to the Lord's disposal, and departed from her in a cheerful frame. Soon after I was gone, she began to mend. She recovered so fast that in about 2 months I had the pleasure to meet her at Stone on her journey to Liverpool. Since October 1755, we have been comfortably settled at Liverpool, and all my circumstances have been as remarkably smooth and uniform. My trials have been light and few, but I still find in the experience of every day the necessity of a life of faith. His principal trial. My principal trial is the body of sin and death, which makes me often sigh out the apostle's complaint, O wretched man that I am. With him likewise I can say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I live in a barren land where the knowledge of and power of the gospel is very low, yet here are a few of the Lord's people. This has been a useful school to me, where I have studied more leisurely the truths I gathered up in London. I brought with me a considerable stock of notional truth, but have found that there is no effectual teacher but God. We can receive no more than he is pleased to communicate. No knowledge is truly useful but what is made by experience. Many things I thought I had learned would not stand in an hour of temptation until I had in this way learned them over again. Since the year 1757, I have had an increasing acquaintance in the West Riding of Yorkshire, where the gospel flourishes greatly. This has been a good school to me. I have conversed at large among all parties without joining any. In any attempts to hit the golden mean, I have sometimes been drawn too near the different extremes, yet the Lord has enabled me to profit by my mistakes. I am still a learner, and the Lord still condescends to teach me. I have attained but very little, but I trust in him to carry on his work in my soul, and by his grace and providence to increase my knowledge of him and of myself. Divorced from the classics. When I was settled in a house and found my business would afford me much leisure, I considered in what manner I should improve it. Determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, I resolved to pursue nothing but in subservience to this main purpose. This resolution divorced me, as I have already hinted, from the classics and mathematics. My first attempt was to learn enough Greek to enable me to understand the New Testament and Septuagint. When I had made some progress in this way, I entered upon the Hebrew the following year. 2 years afterward, having seen some advantages from the Syriac version, I began with that language. I have not attained or ever aimed at a critical skill in any of these. I had no business with them, but as in reference to something else. I only wanted the signification of scriptural words and phrases, and for this I availed myself of others who sustained the drudgery before me. In the Hebrew I can read the historical books and psalms with tolerable ease, but in the prophetical parts I am frequently obliged to have recourse to lexicons. However, I am able, with such helps as are at hand, to judge for myself the meaning of any passage I have occasion to consult. Beyond this I do not think of proceeding, if I can find better employment, for I would rather be useful to others than die with the reputation of an eminent linguist. Together with these studies, I have kept up a course of reading of the best writers in divinity that have come to my hand in the Latin and English tongues, and some French which I picked up at times while I used the sea. But in these 2 or 3 years I have given myself chiefly to writing, and have not found time to read many books besides the Scriptures. In all my literary attempts I have been obliged to strike out my own path by the light I could acquire from books, as I have not had a teacher or assistant since I was 10 years of age. His desire to serve the Lord. I have told you that it was my dear mother's hope that I enter the ministry. Her death and the life in which I engaged afterward seemed to cut off the probability. The first desires of this sort in my own mind arose from a reflection on Galatians 1, verses 23 and 24. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. I could wish for such a public opportunity to testify the riches of divine grace. I thought I was, above most living, a fit person to proclaim that faithful saying, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save the chief of sinners. As my life had been full of remarkable turns, and I seemed selected to show what the Lord could do, I had some hope that perhaps sooner or later he might call me into his service. It was this hope that determined me to study the original Scriptures, but it remained an imperfect desire in my own breast, till it was recommended to me by some Christian friends. I questioned the thought when first seriously proposed to me, but afterwards set apart some weeks to consider the case, to consult my friends, and to entreat the Lord's direction. The judgment of my friends and many things that occurred tended to convince me. My first thought was to join the dissenters, but preferred the established church in some respects. I solicited ordination from the late Archbishop of York. I need not tell you I met a refusal. At present, 1763, my desire to serve the Lord is not weakened, but I am not so hasty to push myself forward as I was formerly. It is sufficient that he knows how to dispose of me, and that he both can and will do what is best. To him I commend myself. I trust that his will and my true interest are inseparable. To his name be glory.